Hi there. This is Nick Savvides. You're listening to the N. Savvides podcast. This is a show where we talk about the art of collaboration, of doing imaginative, creative things and doing those things well with others. This episode is a little different. It seems like I'm saying that more and more these days, but you know, it's what we do. We do things a little differently here at the N. Savvides podcast. Recently, I had the chance to visit Professional Sound Services in New Orleans. They're one of the preeminent sound rental facilities that can do some audio repairs. When there's a big production that comes in to Louisiana, they're often the people they talk to for their audio needs. They also have an office in New York and in Fort Lauderdale. The founder of the company is Richard Topham Jr. He's worked for all kinds of companies, Paramount, Universal, Warner Brothers, all of the major networks. His sound work has earned him 6 Emmys. So all that to say, Professional Sound Services is run by people who really know audio. They've worked in professional contexts for years and years. So anyway, I had the chance to visit the New Orleans office, and Justin Ditch and Lucas Gonzalez run that office. They were kind enough to give me a tour and to highlight some of the equipment they use. Why do you want to use it in certain cases? How can you tell the difference between a better microphone? What does it actually mean, practically speaking, when you're using that higher-end equipment? When to use one type of mic over another? And we put together a pretty informative video of that. Now, the video involves a lot of demonstration of the equipment, showing you what it looks like or techniques involved in using it. So it made sense to just keep that on the video and not include the audio here. The audio wouldn't really be all that useful without the video, but I am going to add the video in the show feed. It'll also be on the show page, so you can check it out there. For this audio segment, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about the making of the video, specifically a harmful mindset I was battling when I was trying to put it together. Something that comes up for other creatives. I've talked to others. It seems like they also run into this from time to time. So I thought it might be helpful to share my experiences with that, if for no other reason than to encourage you if you face similar things. So that's coming up right after the intro. Stick around.
This is the N. Savvides podcast.
Hello.
All right, so overall, I'm happy with the way the video came out. It's informative, and you get a sense of the different equipment from boom poles to mixers to microphones. A couple things that I didn't know, I took some notes. I think it'll be informative to others. And I also like that there was a playful side to it. It was not just informative, but I had fun spending time with Lucas and Justin and seeing the office, and they let some of that come through in the video. So all those things are things that I like, and I hope you'll appreciate it. But when I first came home and looked at the footage, I was so discouraged. The microphone I was using was a prosumer model, as you hear in the video, and so it's prone to picking up certain noises that other high-end microphones might not, and I was getting some interference. So that was discouraging. There were some camera moves I did that weren't quite as polished as I liked, and when I saw it, I was just so distraught, even, where I seriously thought about saying, you know what, this is terrible, forget it, I'm not going to bother with it, I'm not going to share it with folks. And I think that's something that creative people face sometimes. This isn't the first project I've run into that feeling, where something I work on elicits a strong negative response in me. Artists throughout the centuries have faced this. Virgil's Aeneid, a classic epic story about the founding of Rome, even that was something that its creator Virgil wanted to destroy. He wanted it burned. Fortunately, that didn't happen, or we would have been deprived of one of the greatest epic stories ever written. Most literature professors will list the Aeneid in the top 10 of classic epic works. So that kind of apprehension, negativity about our work is something that is inherent to many of us, whether we're doing something small like a little web video or something grandiose like Virgil's Aeneid. And it can come up for all kinds of reasons. I'm not going to be able to give you a definitive list. I can just tell you a little bit about some of the things I thought about when I was reflecting on it, because I was distraught, even like, oh man, I worked on this and this is going to be terrible. And so I had to take a step back and say, where is this coming from? And so I have a couple thoughts on that. Part of it is we all care about how others perceive us to some extent. We might say, well, I don't care, of course not, but we do. We are social creatures, and our ability to thrive is going to depend in part on how others perceive us, right? Like for me, the things I do in a video context, if it's not of sufficient quality, people aren't going to want to come on the show, or they're not going to want me involved in their paid projects, commercials, music videos, whatever it is, film shoots. So that's a factor. I could say, you know what? I feel great about myself. But if everyone else is saying, hey, this guy, the work he does, not so good, that would affect my ability to work in an industry that's important to me. So that's one aspect of it. And whenever we're putting ourselves out there in a creative way, we're going to face some feedback. Some people aren't going to like it. I mean, look, you go see any given movie, even from the greats like Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, some of the guys who have been doing it for years at the highest level, even those guys receive pretty savage reviews on occasion, right? From people who have never made films, who don't understand the filmmaking process, and yet they say, hey, you know, I paid my money. I can throw your year's worth of work under the bus and try to look smart. Look at how smart I am. Ha ha. And you are not. I would just trample your work. So it happens. I will say, too, that the things that happen to us when we're young, in our formative years, can leave an impact that can affect us for years and years, sometimes even decades, even though we try not to let that be the case. But I was teased fairly badly when I was young, and that did affect me a little bit. I mean, that made me have a negative internal monologue about myself in some cases, right? I mean, this kind of thing, this negativity, is something that comes up for me even outside of my creative work. It comes up for other things too, like scripts I've written. I'll write, been working on a story, and then I go back and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. How did I write this? I spent all this time on this. I want to delete it. So it's there for that. But even in social situations, when I'm meeting people, I sometimes have this knee-jerk thought, oh man, these people aren't going to like me. They're going to be annoyed at me. They're not going to want me around. They're going to treat me badly. And you know, when I was in school, that was the case. I mean, there were some people who were malicious to me then, who really did not want to be seen around me because my status was not on par with theirs. And social dynamics in school can be so petty. But that happened years and years ago. And in theory, it shouldn't matter, right? So I get in those situations and I have to stop and say, no, that's not true. I don't have to accept that thought. But it is helpful for me to be aware of it. That is my knee-jerk reaction sometimes, even without thinking about it, even without trying, even years later, right? That happened so long ago, it still affects me to this day. And I have to say, no, I'm not going to acknowledge that. That's not going to be something that defines me. That's not true. I don't know these people. They could be friendly. And let's just hope for the best. Let's try to have a real connection here and see what happens. You know, I wish I could say this is something that I no longer face. It still comes up. Just yesterday, in fact, I went to a music show and I was looking forward to it. I had actually heard about it from a girl I met at another show, and she had given me her number. It seemed like there was some rapport there. And then she came to the show and spent most of the time talking to the guy in the band. You know, I guess I should have anticipated that. That happens sometimes. But I went from being engaged with some of my friends to kind of getting in my shell. And it was just like, okay, man, I want to leave. I don't want to be here. It was reminding me of some of the insecurities I've had. And so it affected my whole outlook, my ability to just even interact with my friends. It's still a struggle. I'm working on it. What can I say? But anyway, the past can affect us and it can skew how we see our work. If we've had negative feedback about things we've done in the past or just thoughtless reactions from others in other circumstances, maybe that affects us in what we're doing now. And I would say we shouldn't dwell on the past, but can be helpful to acknowledge how it can influence the way we see the world even now. Something else that has been helpful for me to consider is that not everything is my masterpiece, right? There are some situations where it makes sense to get everything as polished as possible. When someone is paying money, a client paying for a commercial, well, in that case, it does make sense. They want the very best, and we should give it to them. We want to be excellent for them to represent their company. They're trusting us with their reputation, their brand, and there might be money on the line. We have an obligation to be the best we can be and to spend the time and money to get it right. But that's not true for everything. I mean, everything isn't going to be our masterpiece. Sometimes it's just about saying, hey, this is the best I could do given the circumstances. With the video I did with Professional Sound Services, it was something that I came in and shot on my own. It was something that I thought would be helpful to you all, but it wasn't something I got paid to do. So if I were to shoot those kinds of videos in the way that people shoot commercials or feature-length films, it would be prohibitive. I mean, it would take forever to do it, and I would end up spending all this time on something that's like, well, how are we going to make this work? Not everybody's in a position to be able to say, hey, we can pay you a certain amount to do this, right? So there's something to be said about saying, hey, this was something that I could do with the resources that we had. And I think people can still benefit from it. And, you know, it made me feel a little better to say, hey, you know what? I've seen some training videos from even high-end companies where they do a seminar, a workshop, and the video is just a documentation of the event. It's not the most polished presentation, but then I think, you know what? That's fine because I still learned something. We can't always have unlimited time and money to get everything to the level of perfection that we're accustomed to for some things. I'll give you another example of where this comes into effect. I have a background in photography and video. I studied that in college. And so one of the things that happened after I studied was that I found myself being hesitant to take photos because I would want to make sure that, oh, well, we got to make sure the lighting's right. Got to get the composition, check the focus. And as a result, I missed some opportunities to just get memories of people I care about. I had a little bit of an aversion to Instagram when it first came out. Cause it's like, well, why would you take a photo on a phone when you can do it with something more sophisticated? But then I realized, hey, it's not always about taking sophisticated photos. Sometimes it's just about capturing the moment in an enjoyable way. And then when I could let go of that notion where I said, you know what, every photo I have to do has to be the most polished, then photography started becoming fun again, where it's like, hey, I just want to take this snapshot of this person who is of interest or this texture that stuck out for whatever reason. And it became enjoyable again when before it had just felt so formal. I think it's important to have high standards. It's just a matter of knowing what is the masterpiece and what isn't. Like an artist sketching in a notepad, sometimes it's just doodling, getting ideas, like a sandbox, if you will, playing around with things. And I would say this podcast is sort of my sandbox. People find value in it. I get to talk to folks, flesh out some ideas, but it's not meant to be something on par with a film. And so I think that's helpful for us as creatives to keep in mind when we're trying something new, doing different things. One of the thoughts that really helped me when I was struggling was to say, you know what? I'm just going to try to love this thing into existence. I'm just going to try to make it come alive instead of trying to crush it before it's had a chance to really take root, right? And so I would come back, refine it a little bit, try to be affectionate towards it. And you know, there was lots to be affectionate for me because it was a chance to spend time with these guys. And wow, they were so informative and they were playful. They were willing to banter with me a little bit. Not everyone does. Sometimes it's just like, hey, we got to do this thing. And all those things were encouraging. Those were little nuggets I could say, yeah, okay, maybe everything wasn't perfect, but those things I like. And I want to kind of keep those little embers alive and help them nudge them into shape. I mean, you look at the sketches for a painter when they're starting out, and it really looks like messy lines and rough spots, blocks of paint, and you kind of have to squint to say, I don't even see where you're going. Maybe if I squint, there's like blocks of things that, but where is this? And then eventually the form takes shape with enough time, tender, loving care on the detail, staying with it past the part where it looks kind of ugly. We're like, whoa, what are these? You just threw blocks of paint up there? What's that? It's a matter of going past that point, and eventually it becomes something of merit, something that we can look at and say, well, okay, that I can see. You did a nice job capturing that. So it helps to keep that in perspective, at least for me, to say, hey, there might be negativity. Some people might not like it, but that's all right. I'm going to try to love it into existence, one little small step at a time. And I think that's a big part of why we do the things we do. It is for me and for others as well, I'm sure, of trying to bring the things that we're affectionate about to life in some kind of creative way. I think that's creative process in a nutshell. But on the other side of that, I think it's also important to remember that we are more than just our work, right? Sometimes with creative efforts, we have this idea like, because my work is so personal, my value is tied to that work I'm doing. And that can be tough when the work isn't getting received as well as we'd like. What are we going to do? Then the negativity starts to come back and might prevail. And look at all the great painters, artists throughout history who were essentially penniless in their lives. Only afterwards did we come to appreciate their genius. So it can happen. And if we're so caught up in saying, hey, our art, our work is who we are, as opposed to just something that we do, that can be tough. So I hope you'll keep those things in mind. Try to find the love, the affection in the things you do, and do what you can to sustain that. And then remember, even with all the affection you pour into something, it's not going to be the thing that defines us, right? There's more to us than that. So those are just some thoughts. Some things that I was reflecting on about the process of it that I thought you might appreciate, because it was so striking to me how I was at the beginning of it when it was like, oh man, so discouraged, to now I'm like, yeah, you know, this was a project I had fun with. And I talked to Justin and Lucas. It seems like they liked the video. They had an enjoyable experience. So there you go. It's not always as bad as the negativity in our heads tries to persuade us that it is. So just keep that in mind if you're facing something similar. Okay, that's our show. Do you struggle with negativity about your work, the things you do? And if so, how do you try to keep that sort of thing in check? I'd like to hear about that. You can either leave a comment on the page or shoot me an email. It's podcast@ncervides.com. And it's not just about acknowledging negative things for the sake of being negative. No, let's actually talk about ways that we could encourage each other. If it is something you struggle with, let me know and I'll see what I can do to help, to be a creative encouragement to you. And email is a great way to do that. So hope you'll consider. Music for this episode is provided by Rob Koslow for the song True Gemini. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to check out the video that goes along with this audio episode. If you work in multimedia in any form, whether you're producing films, TV shows, events, multimedia, presentations, learning more about audio is something that's always going to benefit you. So take a look. Putting together a video like that does take a little bit more time. So if you appreciate it, would you take that extra moment to share it with someone else who might also benefit from it? If you do, I'll be really grateful to you. Okay, well, that's it for now. Until next time, let's make our future collaborations be better collaborations.